Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Praise God. I would like you to turn to Romans chapter 8. And this morning I have a message, and I know I have a message, but I'm not really sure quite how it's going to go today. And, you know, life with the Lord, you're not always absolutely certain in your mind, but you know in your heart that the Lord is going to lead you. Following Jesus is a matter of faith. And so today, I'm going to demonstrate my faith by bringing God's word in faith, that he has a specific way of bringing what I believe is a subject that is on his heart. And that subject this morning is God's purpose for you. That's really what I have. I'm just not sure how it's going to work out. And actually, Pastor Angie didn't know this, and she confirmed it in the prayer meeting by saying, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards the goal. And it was just a wonderful time to start this morning's meeting by just giving ourselves to Jesus, a tremendous time of worshiping God in the Spirit. It's so important that we are worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. That's all part of God's purpose for you, that you are a worshiper of Jesus. But in the book of Romans, chapter 8, this is really unfolding a particular passage about how we as children of God, God is our Father, his Spirit lives in us. But we also know the world we live in is waiting for something else. And one day there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And there's all of creation is really groaning because it's not quite how God intended the earth to be. How many of you know that this world is fallen through sin, the sin of man, and that there is a kind of curse over all the earth, but those who are in Christ, those who have received Jesus, are now blessed. But we still live in an imperfect world, do we not? Christ has made us perfect. He has come to live in all those who've accepted him as Lord and Savior, and all those who choose to confess him and follow him as their Lord. But there is also many situations you could be going through currently that you could say, this isn't exactly what I know God wants it to be. It might be in your body, physically. It might be in your relationships. But God himself is at work. And in verse 26, Romans 8, verse 26, God helps us in our weaknesses. It says in the same way, verse 26, the Spirit, that is God, God the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. Isn't that good? That the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps you. He is your helper. Thank you, Lord. He wants to help you where you don't know what to do. He wants to help you into God's plan for your life. He wants to help you to change the world for Jesus. Because we're not just here for us. We're here to see a transformation of the world we live in today. And the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And if I know that God is my helper, then I am able to do a lot more than if I was on my own. In fact, I can do the same things that God can do because he helps me do it. Isn't that great? So the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. We don't even know sometimes what to pray in certain situations. Have you ever been in a situation where you think, I'm absolutely stumped. I don't know what to pray, but Lord, help me. I'm weak in knowing how to pray for this situation. If you face, and if you really are a witness in the world, you will need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because we don't often know what to pray for people and for situations. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. In other words, God helps us. He intercedes for us. And in fact, this word means he intercedes through us. He prays through us according to the will of God. Now, it's interesting that Scripture speaks here of groans and sort of expressions that can't be uttered. And I sometimes think that God, who is all wise, wants us to submit our minds again and again and again to his ways. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will require you to pray in other tongues without you knowing what you're praying for. The Holy Spirit is given, and one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of tongues. So we don't know what to pray for, but he prays through us, sometimes with our heavenly language, it's a prayer language, but also sometimes with groans, with deep expressions that we, and sometimes the sighs or the groans or the tears even are by the Spirit. So that it's a different form of prayer that you in your mind don't understand, but the Holy Spirit is praying through you for a situation, shaping everything for the will of God. Not everything in your life yet is perfectly according to the will of God. You need to understand how the Spirit wants to pray through you so that the will of God can be perfected in your life. If you've got children, you will definitely need the Holy Spirit in your weaknesses in raising your kids. As a pastor, I know. I need the Holy Spirit when I pray for you. Because I sometimes don't know what to pray for. But I will pray in the Spirit. I'll bring one of you before the Father and begin to pray. Or I'll bring you as a church. We'll come. I'll pray for the whole church. And sometimes the intercession goes even further into just a different expression. This is what the Bible is saying here in Romans. We don't always understand in our own words, in English, what to say. But the Spirit helps us to pray and bring everything according to the will of God. Now, in talking about God's purpose for your life, God has a purpose for you. And it's not what you initially thought it was going to be. Because when you are first born into your family, many of us, well, me particularly, my whole family wasn't saved, and so I didn't know very much about God. I didn't know about Jesus. I didn't know about his will for my life. I just got on, went to school, got up in the morning, cleaned my teeth, did the normal stuff, and thought what I'd like to be. Well, to be honest, this is worlds away from what I thought I would be. Standing here preaching the word of God to you this morning is not what I ever thought. But God has worked out his will for me, and I am in the will of God. Hooray! It's good for me to know that I am completely in God's will this morning, preaching God's word. And God wants to work in you so that actually you live out a God-ordained plan and destiny. And God's destiny, God's will, he wants to make known to you. And sometimes we pray with the unknown mind, but eventually at the right time, God will show you what he wants to do. He will show you how to lead your children. He will show you how you need to win in a particular relationship. He will show you the destiny and the purpose that he has for you in the world to be a witness. He'll show you. But God has a will. He has a plan for your life. And in verse 28, there is this wonderful verse, which I would say most Christians who've been saved for a while will know this off by heart. And I would say this is a pretty good one to learn if you need to learn. Well, we all need to learn scriptures off by heart. But this scripture is fantastic. Verse 28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good, for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." What a great scripture. Say, what a great scripture. Isn't that an amazing truth? And we know that all things work together for good. Have you ever looked at your life and thought, well, this isn't really very good? Have you ever looked at your circumstances and said, this isn't looking like it's coming out very well? But God wants us to believe, not just hear the word and read it and memorize it. The scripture is to be believed. How many believers do we have this morning? Believer is someone who says, I know. In other words, I believe in my heart. I know that in all things, God is working things together for my good. Because I love God. I love God. It's for those who love God. Do you want to be in the purpose of God? Well, it happens if you love Him. For those who love Jesus, who love God, and are the called according to His purpose. It's almost like God saying, I will work everything out, but I need you to partner with me in a love relationship. I want you to be in a relationship with me so that I can work all the things that are going on in your life out for good. So that everything, even the bad things, even the negative things, even the things that Satan is trying to ruin and destroy, God is able to work everything out for good. He doesn't send bad things because He's only good. And He can only do good. But even if there are bad things that go on around us, God is able to make all things work together in your life for good. Providing you continue to love Him and live in His purpose. You see, there are years ahead for most of us in this room. There are years ahead that God is saying there's a purpose and a plan for everything in your future. I've got plans for you this week. I've got plans for you today. I've got plans for you in the future. And I'm going to work everything together for good so that you come into those plans and those purposes that I have for you. God is a planner. He doesn't work for the planning department. He is the ultimate planner. And actually in Psalms it says, He foils the plans of the nations, but His purposes will stand. I love that. In other words, He's declaring that He is Lord and that He's in control. And sometimes when things seem to go wrong in our lives, we need to know that He is in control. And if He isn't in control, find someone else to pray to. If you think the devil's in control, then pray to him. Of course, I don't mean it. But God is in control. He thwarts the plans of the nations. He brings to nothing the plans of the people. But the purposes of the Lord will stand, the plans of His heart for every generation. So in other words, this book, the Word of God, the Bible, is full of God's thoughts and God's plans. And He declares what He is going to do before He does it. We can know that Jesus is coming back because He's already declared it. He speaks certain things over nations before they happen. And when He calls you, He declares things over your life. And even before you were born, God said, I'm going to have a David. I'm going to have a Melanie. I'm going to have a Fred. And I'm going to give them my plan because I've got a plan to make them, to create them for a particular purpose. Even before you were born, God had already got the plan. And so plans and purposes, the destiny of God for your life has already been predetermined. God's destiny for you happened before you were a baby. And his destiny was already planned before you even came to know Jesus. But I must stress that God works with willing hearts. I love in Acts 13, the word of God says that I've found David, a man after my own heart, who will serve my purpose, my will, in his generation. That speaks to me of a partnership. That if we're going to connect with his plan, I've got to say, yeah, I want to partner with you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. Because David actually fulfilled the plan of God for his generation. God had a plan for David's life. He started off life as a shepherd. He started out life as the youngest son. In fact, he started off life by being disregarded by all his brothers. And God took what was nothing, what was the least, and eventually, through a series of changes in David's life, David needed to be changed. God had already got a plan for his life. Jesus called him, God spoke to him about his plan, but there was a whole lot of changing that needed to happen before the day that David was crowned king of Israel. God's plan for him was that he was going to lead the nation and restore worship back to that nation. Wow, what a plan. And David responded every part of the way. He said, yes, Lord, if you want to do that with me, that's fine by me. He walked with God. He worshiped the Lord. He was a man after God's heart. And God's purpose and his heart got connected. And as they walked together, the plans began to unfold. And no good thing that God spoke actually didn't come to pass. Everything God said actually happened for David's life. So God has a plan for you. It's important that you know the Spirit will help you to pray according to the will of God for his plan for your life. And that's why you need the Holy Spirit and you need to pray. You need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for each other. Pray for your families in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring about the will of God for your family. If things are not in the plan yet, the Spirit will help you to bring about the will of God in your family and in your friends' lives. God has got a plan and a purpose for you. Colossians tells us in chapter 1, verse 16, all things were made by him and for him. I don't know if you're part of all things. Are you part of all things? All things were made by him. So you didn't self-create. You're not a product of, wow, aren't you amazing, look what you did. Because God made you. All things were made by him. Even though, you know, newly parents, not Dan. Aren't we amazing, look what we did. When the baby comes out, look what I did. Isn't that amazing? Aren't I brilliant? All things were made by him and for him. Now, of course, there's a partnership going on. But there is a need for us to see that God makes everything according to a plan. I was thinking the other day, he made cows for a plan. I like milk. It's good for us. He made trees and plants, crops, vegetables. There's a purpose to wheat. You can make food to eat, and people can be alive because of God's plan and purpose. So God is a planner. And he plans down to the minutest detail. If you don't think God plans details, think about the birth of Jesus. Everything was announced hundreds of years before through the prophets. He brought his word about Jesus being born. He brought his word about the Messiah. He brought his word about the cross through Isaiah. Chapter 53 from Isaiah. He was pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Even before the crucifixion in the world had happened, God saw the end from the beginning. He had a plan. God is never going to be surprised at the mess anybody's in. He can redeem every mess and bring it into his will and purpose. God can change anything, providing we are willing to go with him. Acts 17, turn there. Acts chapter 17. It really helps me, and I trust it helps you to know that God has a plan. A unique, special plan for you, that you are part of his plan. That you're made by him and for him. And that his plan is being worked out. And I might be just such a small part, but it's significant. A small part of his plan, and his plan is the church. Say the church. The church are the only ones who will survive in the next heavens and the earth. Hello? We will be in the new heavens and the new earth. I mean, the word survive wasn't the right word. All others outside Christ will live forever, but in eternal hell. Okay, so there is another place that is eternity without God, separated from God. But God's plan for the church is how he is going to fulfill. He's the head of the body. And so we all have a purpose in the church. A unique gift. You are a unique gift. Say, I'm a unique gift. Nobody can do what you do. Nobody can give what you can give. The part that you play is significant. It might look small, but it's significant in the whole picture of what God is wanting to do with his people and through his people to reach the world. And in Acts 17, we read in verse 26. Acts 17, verse 26. For one man, from one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. It's interesting that from Adam came all men. Adam and Eve came all men. That God's plan was the world would be filled with people. So in other words, he wanted a lot of people. Well, there's too many people that live where I live. God wants people. He loves people. Yeah, he's into seeing more people saved. He's not into small and just us. He wants as many as possible with him. Amen. Yes. And he filled the earth through the one man, through Adam and Eve. And then it says that they should inhabit the whole earth and that he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God determined the exact time you were born. So you're not too old or you're not too young. Hallelujah. Because God determined the exact time. Doesn't that say that in your Bible? Have we got any believers here today? Does the word say that? I'm not saying this is the word. He determined the exact times and the places we would dwell. Now, I was thinking this through, thinking, well, that's really interesting. Because he determined I was born in Zimbabwe. That's what he determined. Because I always thought, I don't know why my parents moved. It would have been better. I'd have been more anglicized. Quieter. More like you. But when I was 10, my parents decided to move. Do you know, I see that as destiny. I see it as God's destiny that my family up sticks and moved to this country. And he determined the place that I would dwell. And why did he do this? What is the purpose or the plan behind where anyone lives or the time they're living in? It doesn't matter what generation you are, age you are, where you live, anywhere in the world. The fact is, God is in control of your times, your seasons, and even where you live. Why is the big question. What is the purpose about where you live and what age you are? It says here that perhaps they would reach out for him and find him. God made sure that you were in a place to find him. Isn't he wonderful? That you'd be in the right place at the right time so that you might reach out. I love that. Don't you just love that? Reach out. And I didn't reach out till I was 27. I don't know how old you were when you reached out. You might have been a child when you reached out for Jesus. You might be a brand new Christian who's just gone, I've seen him. I've found Jesus. I've reached out. But that is why you live where you live, and you are in the time you're in. The purpose for time is to find God. For every generation, every nation, God wants them to reach out and find him. Isn't that brilliant? So, can I say this morning, you're in the right place at the right time. Tell somebody next to you, it's my destiny, I'm here. And I'm here for God's purpose. Turn to John chapter 1. We'll have a look at this. I am so certain this morning that in my heart, God wants to know, wants you to know that God has a plan. Some of you might have lost sight of it. Some of you maybe are not even thinking about it. And it's time to think according to his purpose so that we can key into his plan for our lives. But it's also time to think there's a destiny. There's a purpose for me. I think the worst thing that can happen to anybody is that they lose hope about why they're alive. That all things around them are communicating that life is just so mundane. That it's meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I get up, I wash, I do the dishes, I go to Sainsbury's or I go to Asda, then I come home, I fill the car, I go to work. Life is more than the mediocre. It's about God's plan. Amen. And he wants you full of it so that you have a vision for his life and a plan and a purpose. That he's, I've got a plan. God's got a plan for me and I am unique. It's important that I reach out and find him. It's important that I'm here serving God in this generation. It's important that I want to do his will. It matters to God and it matters to me. In John chapter 1, we read really about a group of people similar to what we used to be like who were not yet in the plan and didn't know about God's purpose for their lives. In John chapter 1, we're going to read verse 35 and have a look at this. The next day, John was there again with two disciples. That's John the Baptist, with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he said, "and you'll see." So they went and they saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. And it was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who'd followed Jesus. And the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah. That is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means translated Peter, or little rock, little stone. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and the one whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Isn't that great? It's one of my favorite comments. "Come and see," Philip said. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael said. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." We'll just leave it there. Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. So God is here in person. And he is looking at people who are not yet in his plan. All around him, people are doing stuff, but they're not in his purpose. And so Jesus begins to walk around Galilee. And it starts here with actually John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, predestined generations before to bring in the Christ with his words. That he was going to bring in the way so that the Messiah would come in. The last and greatest prophet before Jesus, the Son of God, came. And John the Baptist, he's with his two disciples. Now, a disciple isn't somebody who goes to church. Need to get into the thinking of Scripture or the mind of Christ. That Jesus is here to make disciples, not churchgoers. And John had two disciples. Now, these disciples knew that the anointing of God was on his life, so they decided to get around him and learn. And essentially, a disciple is a learner, somebody who is hungry to know more about God, to know more about his plans, to discover more about the meaning of life, to see why things happen, why things have gone wrong. And John the Baptist doesn't say very much, but he sees Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this scene, because Jesus is looking like an ordinary young man in Galilee. There is no halo. There are no angels. There's no miracles. There's nothing strange that he's wearing. He hasn't got a worship band following him. He is just walking, and John looks at him, and he sees by revelation. What the Bible speaks of is revelation, which means his heart, his eyes are opened, and he says, "Look, God's sacrifice for sin." That was the announcement of Jesus through John the Baptist. This is God's Lamb. All the way through, the Jews knew that blood had to be shed for sins, and the animal's blood was shed. But by revelation, John says, look, this is God's sacrifice. He's provided a lamb. Jesus. Now, that must have been phenomenal for those two disciples, Andrew. And I think it was John, wasn't it? What were their names? Forget. And they heard and followed. They followed Jesus. I mean, imagine standing up at your workplace going, look, the Lamb of God. And all of Debenhams turns to follow Jesus. That's what we're talking about. It's like suddenly, I thought John the Baptist was interesting, but to tell you the truth, sorry, John, you're nothing on this one. I can't spend my life on you because I've seen Jesus, the Lamb of God. And they turn to follow. And Jesus, interestingly, said, what do you want? And they said, where are you staying? Because the disciples thinking, I just need to get around this guy. I need to be with him so that I can just find out more about God. I can find out really about the purpose of God. You know, these guys are just ordinary, normal fishermen. They are ordinary people who say, hang on a minute, there's something more to the ordinary about my life. And it's got something to do with God. And so They reorientated their life. Where are you staying? And Jesus wisely said, come and see. He didn't say, right, I'll give you a list. First of all, we're staying in Bethany. I've got some friends there. Then we'll spend a month in Jerusalem. There'll be a few years out in the wilderness. He doesn't give them any detail. Isn't this interesting that people are willing to follow Jesus without detail? Aren't you? Are you willing to follow? Because with him is the plan. Come, follow, and you will see. How do we find our purpose in life? By following Jesus Christ. By leaving the people, while they're important, they're unique, they have a call on the life, the most important person that we're following is Jesus, the Son of God. And what's interesting is we get this gathering. Andrew, one of John's disciples who began to follow Jesus, stayed the day with him. The first thing he did was like, he's irresistible, Jesus. Do you know him as irresistible? Do you? Do you? Are you a Christian? Are you a follower? Because Jesus is irresistible. Come on, I'm going for your heart today. I'm going for your heart. I'm not preaching a message to your head. Is Jesus irresistible? Is he like a magnet that pulls your heart away from the wrong things and pulls you towards his plan and purpose by following him? Are you a follower because you're a lover of Jesus Christ? The magnet got set that day on something other than fishing, your job, ordinary, and into the God purpose plan that is discovered in following Jesus Christ. Come, Jesus said, and you will see. He's saying to you today, come, follow me, and you're going to see. You're going to see things. You're going to see. You haven't seen anything yet. There's a lot more for you to see. There's stuff for you to see. Don't be dull-hearted. Don't go back to the mundane of life. follow Jesus. Andrew went, found his brother. The first thing he could do is, this is so good. He's irresistible. I better go and find Peter. Simon actually was his name. I love this because there's a gathering. And how you come to follow Jesus first is not really the issue. Who told you about Jesus? Was it a preacher like John the Baptist? Was it a friend or somebody in the family? It doesn't matter. What matters is you came and you saw him. And you heard his voice. And you turned your life around to say, I am following Jesus Christ. And so there is this gathering. One person gets a revelation. They go and talk to another. And I don't know if you think you know Peter, but if you read the Gospels, Peter isn't probably the easiest guy to move on. Peter, local businessman. Can I just say at the beginning of his life, extremely small-minded. All he's ever known is this. He lives in a very small town on Galilee. He's just like fish, fish, fish. The wife, kids, fish, fish. Partners, boats, fish. Matthew, the tax collector, taxes, taxes, taxes. Money, money, money. The economy, the economy, the economy. Getting rich, getting rich, getting rich. Tipping away a bit for myself, getting rich. Jesus, come follow me. Riches, wealth, fish, I'm off. Something different about Jesus. There's nobody on this earth like Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter how you came. It matters that you did. It matters that you follow him. It matters for you. And it matters for his plan and purpose. Come, follow me. You won't get the whole package downloaded in one. You're not going to sit. You know, my niece, she's off to uni. She's bought this Mac Pro book or whatever it is. I look at it and think expensive. And, you know, I'm downloading this, I'm downloading that. And wouldn't we all like that? Let's download everything, Father. Just give me the whole lot. What's the purpose? He says, come follow. No, 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 you misheard my prayer. I think you should be answering what I'm asking. I'm saying, could you please let me know everything that's going to happen in my life? He says, come follow. Because Jesus is more important than any purpose or vision that sparkles and shines to get your attention. Your ministry, your place. Jesus, come follow me. You see, Peter, I believe he was quite small-minded because I think I was before I met Jesus. And in some way, we've all got our own little experiences in life. I've been blessed to travel all over the world preaching the gospel. I have seen amazing things. But I still consider myself narrow-minded in comparison with Jesus. I've got a whole lot of shaping to go on. A whole lot of changing up here in my mind. And I've got a whole lot of future with Jesus that I haven't yet discovered. Amen. And you could say, ordinary people from ordinary society all brought together to follow Jesus. Now, wouldn't it be great if it was just me and Jesus? Wouldn't the Christian life be 100% easier? And I'm talking 100%. If it wasn't for us having to do it together. The gathering. Peter says, well, what's he doing here? I don't like tax collectors. And we've got the politician, the zealot. What's he doing here? I'm nothing like him. Jesus, just pick fishermen who really know about the Christian life. And he starts to gather different people with different views, different backgrounds. They don't talk like me. They don't think like me. In fact, they haven't got the same grounding I've got. And we're all called to gather to follow. Because Jesus, when he called his disciples, he didn't just call them to follow him. He called them to follow him together. Now, what did that mean for a businessman like Peter, who basically had a really good business going and had a family? Let's face it, shall we? Peter was married. What does it mean for the other two that were called? Because actually, they didn't just leave their nets. They left their dad in the boat fishing, going out fishing. So in other words, it looked like Jesus didn't have any regard for the father because the two sons were taken off the job. Do you know there's something more important than work in your life? Work is not God. And you want to be thankful that it isn't. Because it's a hard taskmaster. Jesus, if you'll make him your Lord, you will live the happiest, most fulfilled plan and purpose, because you'll reach your destiny by following him. Andrew had to leave his nets. Peter had to leave his nets. He had to make that choice, because Jesus didn't force people to follow him. It's not press ganged. You must come. Don't you hate it when you want somebody to come round and spend time with you and they walk in like this? So, when are we leaving? When do you think it's time we could get out of this? Because basically the communication is, I don't really want to be here. It's not press gang to follow Jesus. He should be so irresistible that it doesn't matter what you've got to leave, you'll leave it. Because he's so good, it doesn't matter. But these guys, they left to follow Jesus with people that were nothing like them. And it's also really easy when you first start following Jesus. When I first started to follow Jesus, I met the Lord. And that was it. Whatever he asked me to give up, it really wasn't difficult because he gave me love for him. I left my career, I sold my house, I made choices to give up everything to follow Jesus. And I don't believe that any church should be based on visitors. I believe a church should be full of disciples who are willing to leave stuff to follow. That's really the plan. The purpose of God is to become a disciple, follower, learner with others of Jesus Christ. It wasn't hard for me. And if Jesus calls me to do something that initially I might struggle with, like I need to leave those people. I've had to leave people behind to be where I am today. I've had to forfeit family life to be where I am today. But let me tell you, he is worth everything. In fact, he is more fulfilling than anything. Now, he might give you family on the way naturally, but he definitely gives you family on the way spiritually. And your brothers and sisters were what he chose, not what you choose. Now, when you first start walking with Jesus, it's like you have this inherent love for people. It's like, I really love, I did anyway. I can't understand people who don't want to be with believers. Because it's actually not the purpose of God that you're not walking with believers, followers of Jesus Christ. You understand that? Let me tell you, that is God's purpose for you. That's in the scriptures. And this love that I had for believers kind of began to run out when I got to know them. And I used to go to these meetings because I just wanted to find out about Jesus. I knew people knew more than me, and I was wanting to learn and be taught. And I was with these people. There was the one that stands out in my mind. I've probably mentioned him before, and he goes down in history, in my history, as somebody who taught me more grace than most. He was always pulling me to one side, pointing out my mistakes. It doesn't matter what I did, he would always say, come here. No, don't you say it. And he would always have his Bible there, like this big Bible. And he'd be like, burr, 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 burr. And I'd be like, huh. And to be honest, there were moments I didn't like him. Now, Peter and Andrew and all the disciples must have had their moments. Because following Jesus and learning about Jesus, by definition, means you're walking with people who rub up against you sometimes, or you rub up against them. Is that right? I can look at you and sometimes think, whoa, what's that? Maybe not you. Maybe somebody who isn't here today. That little manifestation of flesh. But we're called to follow Jesus together. And I can imagine Simon Peter kind of getting to a point where they're kind of, it was all right at the beginning when we used to just say, what do you do for a living? And, you know, oh, that's interesting. But when you're together a bit longer, you go, I don't like the way they do that. You know, when I used to have to disciple me a woman with a flag in worship. And, you know, flags are banned here. Because she used to have this bamboo stick, which is actually a weapon. And do this dance. Not at the back. At the front. And I felt at different times this bamboo stick was about to arrive in my eye. At other times I'd feel the flutter of banner across my face. And you know, you're there, oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. But I don't love her. And you'd be in this conflict. You'd be like, here we go. And Jesus would be like, This is what being a disciple is. You're with people who rub you up the wrong way. What are you going to do? Forgive. All right, I'll forgive. Next week. I forgave quicker. That's victory. And next time I thought, I'll position myself right in the middle so that I can be not distracted and just focus on Jesus. So I changed my position where I used to sit. So I didn't have to get the banner. But, you know, sometimes there are people who shout too loud, and there are some people that are too quiet. They just stand there like icebergs. Ice, ice, baby. And there are others. I mean, we all have to learn how to live together to follow Jesus. And it's a process of change. I was like an iceberg when I first got saved. What's with the hands? What's this? My dad said, are you holding the roof up? I didn't understand these things because following Jesus meant a whole world of change. For Peter, when he first started following Jesus, it was like he was definitely a rough diamond. A rough, uncut treasure. Jesus said, there's treasure in you. I've got a plan for you. And you know, this small town guy ended up in the middle of the Roman Empire preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He became a world traveler in those days where there were no aeroplanes. He became a great man of influence because God took an ordinary person and brought him to follow. And he was a disciple right through to the end of his days. He became a man of influence, but there was a whole lot of changes that had to take place before he ended up in his total plan, destiny, that God had for his life. And so Peter had to change a lot. Maybe after 3 months, I don't know when he went to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? In other words, surely there's a limit with living with these guys. Surely, you know, there's a time where I go, that's it, I'm walking away from these people. Jesus didn't say 7 times, did he? He said 70 times 7, 490. Peter, his flesh was being challenged by his brothers. And it was really good for Peter. Why? Because Jesus was changing Peter to become more like Jesus. And he wasn't just using the following and relationship with Jesus. He was using other people to make him more gracious, to make him more forgiving, to say, actually, my destiny is to be with you. It's God's plan and purpose that we are together following Jesus. And if you rub me up the wrong way, it's good for me. Because I change. And if I rub you up the wrong way, it's good for you. Hello? It's called discipleship. We're following Jesus so that we're becoming more and more like him, being discipled. Now, you are never going to be discipled alone. Disciples are never made alone or in small units and families. Hello? You need us, we need you. It's called purpose. There is a purpose for you to follow Jesus with us. Yeah? And it's very important that we understand that there is a shaping and a changing to go on. Now, let's look at Philippians chapter 3. We're going to finish with this and pray. I just get, you know, the more you go on with life, I can look back and thank God for the biggest challenging people that I've had in my past. Can you? The people that challenged me the most were the ones that changed me the most. Sometimes, you know, when you begin to really do life with people, when people get married and it's all love and roses and all the rest, and then a little bit of what the scripture says, iron sharpening iron, actually you need to be thankful that God isn't willing to leave you the same person all the way through. You're a new creation, but there's a whole lot of you that needs a change. And so other people he will use as iron sharpening iron to rough up your edges. And I have to say, and I know I speak with all respect here, because I honor Pastor Colin as my father in the Lord and as the father of this King of Faith. And he is just one of the greatest men of God alive today. You need to know that. He's one of the greatest. He has influenced the whole world. Christian world, all the way through nations, through his writings, his faith, his walk with God. He has followed Jesus resolutely all his days. He has left things to follow. Come on, let's give him honor. Just amazing. But I want to also say that he was very difficult for me to live with. I was called, God pre-appointed me to live with the Urquharts for a season. Wow! I'm talking wow. W-O-W. Awesome, but in another way. Because quite honestly, it was very difficult living with somebody like that. And he is just such a focused man. You know, even around the house, you walk into a meeting, he's focused, he's non-relational. And sometimes I'm like that, guys. It's because I have another plan. I'm here for another reason. I'm here to minister, here to bring the word of the Lord, not to say, how are you? I might say, how are you afterwards? But initially, I've got to get in to a place where I'm really able to bring what God wants me to bring. But he would even do that around the house. He'd be walking to the study like this. You know how he does. Have you seen him walk? It's like an England cricketer. He's about to bowl. You know? Morning, I'd say when I first moved in. Morning! And I'm like, he didn't say morning. Well, that's not very nice, is it? And I had to change. I had to understand. I had to say, well, not everybody's going to do what I want them to do. But I'm here to love people and to follow Jesus. And to learn in this situation what God wants to teach me. Are you in a tough time? What's God teaching you? Because in all things, God is working things together for good. He's shaping that uncut diamond and saying, hey, nicely, let's knock this edge off. Let's take this attitude out. Let's make you gracious. Peter, having said, how many times must I forgive my brother, ended up writing 1 Peter 3. Beloved, live in harmony and at peace with one another. Be compassionate and gentle towards one another. I mean, he had changed from the roughneck fisherman to this apostle of love. God had shaped him. And God had used people, testing times, different things. And I want to speak about tests and trials next week, about how God uses them to change us. But how your destiny needs tests. You need tests so that you change. Because God has a plan for your life that you can only come into that plan through passing the tests, the forgiveness tests, the walking together tests, the test of fellowship, making sure you don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Make sure it isn't you. Make sure you're following Jesus together with those who are following Jesus, with those who God has actually put you with. Don't give up. Keep going. Peter changed. And in Philippians 3, we read about Paul. And he says in verse 12, not that I've already tamed all this. In other words, I am not yet in everything God has for me. And I'm not yet exhibiting the character that God wants me to. So in other words, guys, I'm not yet a total reflection of Jesus. I have Christ in me, but there's still changes required. But what do? I forget. I forget what is behind. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. God has a purpose for you in this season. And it's for pressing on to lay hold of his plan and purpose for you, his destiny. He has things for your future you haven't yet seen. But Jesus says, come follow me and you will see. I will show you things as you walk with me. One thing I do, I forget what is behind. I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ. There's a goal at the end of your life where you, I trust, will say, Jesus, I was faithful to fulfill your purpose for my life. I know that before I was born, you had a plan. I know that meeting Jesus and following you all the days of my life with others is part of your plan. And I know that you have things for me to do in this world that will turn many to follow you. I know that your church is in this place now to be changed, discipled, shaped, so that we might be more effective in turning many to follow Jesus. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to save the lives of others and see the gospel bring people to Jesus Christ. God has an amazing predestined plan for you. He is irresistible, Jesus, to follow. His destiny is that you follow him, and his destiny is you follow him with the people he puts you with. We follow Jesus together. If you miss the together bit, you miss the plan. Okay? Is that simple? But we also can be confident that all things work together for good. When I look at you and you look at me, say, Father, I thank you. All things are working together for good. For those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.